Rogers and Jane. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20 City Home Price Index rose 11.1% in January from a year earlier. That's the biggest gain since March 2014. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 148 points. The S&P is off 17. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, a company placing God and family first. Great home time and great benefits with highly competitive pay. Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. It's an interesting week. We have a storm system on the way, followed by a late-season cool snap later in the week. Today will be a little bit warmer, high temperature up to about 76. There is a risk of a shower or thunderstorm later on this afternoon and scattered storms tonight. Tonight's low 64. Tomorrow, high temperature near 80. Thunderstorms become likely on Wednesday. Some of the storms could be strong, and we're even under a marginal severe weather risk. Damaging wind gusts would be the main threat. Thursday, windy and sharply cooler behind the storm system. High temperatures only in the upper 50s. I kid you not. In fact, I think we'll be in the mid-30s by Friday morning with patchy frost. It's very late in the season for that. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
All roads lead to Brubaker Motors, located on the Eastern Boulevard in Montgomery, Alabama. Don't get caught in traffic. Shop online anytime. It's better at Brubaker.com.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Roughly 7,000 Montgomery Public School students are expected to be back in the classroom next week. MPS is giving families the option to return to in-person learning or continue with virtual learning. Millbrook police have arrested a man in connection to a stabbing over the weekend. Authorities charged Robert Thomas with second-degree assault after they say he stabbed a 26-year-old at a home in the 3,000 block of Grandview Road. The victim was hospitalized with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. And the Montgomery County EMA hosted a drive-up vaccine clinic Monday at Old Smiley Court. Officials say they had 1,100 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine to administer. EMA officials say their goal is to make getting a vaccine as easy as possible. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
I'm Wiley Dempsey. I own Carter's World here in Montgomery. I've been here for over 10 years. We recently moved across town to 6383 Atlanta Highway. Without Blue Water, we wouldn't be able to be as successful as we are. They got the message out to thousands of people.
Millennials, Gen X, baby boomers, Gen Z, no matter what you call your customers, over 90% of them listen to radio every week. Reach them where they are. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks. Helping local business.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Don't miss the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest. Laughs, fun, and some priceless financial advice from Montgomery's premier asset preservationist. Weeknights at 6 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
The Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How you doing today, Big O? How'd it go yesterday?
I think it went all right, though the problem of yesterday continues today, where our phone system is not working.
Let's see, it's a whole show without phones.
Oh, yeah, I did one yesterday morning and this morning, and it would work sporadically, but it's a statewide issue. I think somebody cut a key fiber cable or something like that.
Let's go find that guy and rough him up.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's how do you do a talk radio show without phones?
Yes, we just blather on and on.
We can do that. We're pretty damn good at that, matter of fact.
Sure.
Okay, back from Birmingham. We got some news for you guys. And I'm a full disclosure kind of guy. Joey's going to hear this for the first time himself. Went to Birmingham and said, what a gorgeous day to drive. Beautiful. And so I went up and did my meeting with the surgeon, who's I have a great surgeon, by the way. And it's one of those good news, bad news type situations. The good news is that on my left side of my jaw, the necrosis has there seems to be getting better. That's good. Also on the good side of things, that the tumor that was there in my jaw was smaller, and that's real good. And the lymph node involvement that was there seems to subside. They're still going to take the lymph node, but that's a good sign also. So it looks like three out of the four chemos did do a good job. The information is I'm going to do major surgery on April the 27th. And you're going to love this. I'm going to explain what the surgery is going to be.
All right.
They're going to do a cut right on my left side, right below the neckline. And what they do is they go in and you're going to love this. They're going to take the jawbone. They're going to separate the gum from the jawbone, mm-hmm. and then cut the jawbone out, the entire bottom.
All right.
From far left to center point, from center point to far right. And then they're going to go into my leg. They're going to open my leg up, and they're going to take a piece of bone out.
Do you know what leg it is?
Yeah. I tell them I want a big jaw, and I want a Kurt Douglas jaw. And they're going to take that out, and they're going to fashion a new jaw out of that bone. So they say, the jawbone of a jackass. The leg of a jackass. So I go back on the 12th, and I do CT scans and the special look that they do in looking at the jaw. And then go back up on the 27th for the surgery. And I'll give you a concept of this. You know, I'm a kind of numbers analytical guy. My surgery for my triple bypass would be rated as about a 5. That was a little less than 3 hours under the under anesthesia. This will be 10 hours.
Mm.
10 to 11 hours, he said. And the recovery is, for every hour you are under, is basically a month that it takes you to get rid of that out of your system. So you still have the anesthesia in you. But I was in the hospital for 3 days after my open heart surgery. They said it'd be 5 to 7. They're saying for this procedure will be 7 to 9 days. I'm shooting for 5 to 6, you know me.
Sure.
And then I will go into rehab and do rehab here. The bad part about this shows you how badly they want to do this thing. I said, man, you want to get your jollies off, cut my jaw out. Daniel's graduation is on May the 7th. In Knoxville, so I'm going to miss his graduation. I have to zoom it in because I said, can we delay it by 10 days? And let me do the thing. I said, we really wouldn't recommend you doing that.
Right.
So I went, okay, well, kind of speak volumes with that. And then from rehab can be anywhere from 12 to 21 days. I'm shooting for 7 to 12. And then I do at-home convalescent care. That's another anywhere, they say, 21 to 30-something days. Mm. So that's a long period of time, during a waiting period, by the way.
Right.
So that's kind of what, you and I need to talk. I've already spoken to Rick and kind of come up with kind of a game plan for this whole thing. So we're going to do this. So, but we want everybody still plugged in. Definitely want your prayers. Wish I could get telephone calls from you guys. They'll send us smoke signals. But please keep praying for me. That is a very key part of this. when I got to spend some quality time with my brother and my sister-in-law yesterday, when we came back, they wanted all of us to get together, so we did, went over to their house. I mean, what a magnificent day. Just
it was
absolutely gorgeous.
Day. Yeah, better than having to go up there in the rain.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then we have the rain coming, I guess, today or this tonight, something like that.
Something time later, yeah.
But, so Benji's been at doggy daycare, did overnight at MVA. Thanks, MVA, for taking care of him. I've got to give a shout-out. I was not doing well on Sunday, so I went to MCC, Montgomery Cancer Center, to go get a hydration. So I get in my car, drive over there. Driving's easy. Standing up, whole different ballgame. Walking in. So I get out of my car, and I'm walking into MCC through the sliding glass doors with my little briefcase. I only took one computer. Knew better than to try to take two. And I get to the door, and I'm feeling a little faint. And so the wonderful, sweet security guard, Susan, says, "Can I help you? Are you okay?" I said, "I'm Dan Morris. I'm here to get a hydration." So I, she said, "Well, let me get you a wheelchair." And I said, "Well, let me just sit down." So I sit down, and so she brings a wheelchair over, and she said, "Get in the wheelchair." And I said, "Well, hold on 1 second." And said, "Would you like to still be a talk show host?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Get in the wheelchair."
Wheelchair.
She was so, and she took great care of me. She put me in there, got me in there, and talked to them because I was not necessarily the most coherent person around. And they gave me the hydration. It was really amazing. They have numbers above every chair, and it says like chair 10, chair 9. And I could barely read the numbers when I was there. But as they started doing the hydration, all of a sudden my eyesight became better. And that's what happens. You get that kind of foggy. You know how if you're about to black out, it goes that little circle around your eyes. I was having that, and it's kind of closing in. Never went to black, thank God. But as I did hydration, I was going like, woohoo, I'm feeling better. So that was great. Susan, if you're listening, I'm going to try to go by today and try to see you. And thank you again for doing that. People at MCC are just, Montgomery Cancer Center are just wonderful. I am going back over there today to get blood work done. But the other thing that I have to do is I've got to get my my body chemistry up to par before they'll even consider surgery. And
right.
The doctor and the nurses will call me. I'm a big old hot mess, they said, with my blood work. I said, "So what'd you think about my blood work?" And said, "Are you kidding me?" Your blood work was awful.
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, I'm working on it." I said, "Well, you have to work harder." So we're going to come up with a strategy with Dr. Barnes and myself to get this done, because I want to get this thing done and out of the way. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday, 272-9228. If you want to call, if you can get in, we'll give you my cell phone, but it's not going to do any good unless we can Skype. Can we Skype?
No. Well, I guess, but no, I don't think we're set up.
You don't
think
so? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to be back.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Ah, springtime in Alabama, when a young man's fancy turns to tuning up his AC. Clark Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, your Bryan dealer. How can we make you smile?
Hi, Clark. I have a problem with my AC system.
What is it?
You know, the machine that cools my house?
Right. I'm on my way. Tell me, how long has it sounded like this?
A year, or two, or maybe five.
Son, you ought to join the Clark Club.
I don't play golf.
No, no. This is a program that automatically includes spring and fall tune-ups for your cooling and heating system.
Oh, so I won't forget.
Exactly. Just $159 a year includes two tune-ups, plus members get a lower service fee and great discounts on repairs and supplies like filters and thermostats.
Perfect. Hey, can I also get a reminder about my anniversary?
You're on your own there, kid. To keep your AC system running great, better call Clark. Visit clarkcomfort.com for more information.
Bryant, whatever it takes, better call Clark. $159 Clark Club price covers one system with discounts for additional systems. Alabama certification 99004.
Do you have experience in the screen printing industry? Or are you interested in learning a skilled trade that caters to your creative side as well as your organizational skills? Then American Classic Designs is the place for you. With over 30 years of experience in the screen printing world, our locally owned business values our employees as much as our customers. Our production department houses four automatic presses and multiple manual presses to ensure maximum efficiency for long runs while also being able to accommodate smaller runs. We are currently accepting applications on our website at www.goakd.com, as well as our Facebook page at American Classic Designs, that's classic with a K, or come in and apply in person at our Montgomery office located at 241 Mendel Parkway off Atlanta Highway behind Budget Car Sales. Or call us at 334-277-8433. Come join the AKD family, where the first impression always matters.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1. Back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Indeed. 272-9228. Just in case the phones start working. Okay, so let me get into some of our stuff here. Secret Service did a report, which is a on school shootings and how to be aware of stuff. Now, I'm kind of, it's a shame that CBS, Catherine Herridge is a story, the person who does story, I don't know how much I like her. But, you know, one thing I don't like about CBS, instead of taking the essence of the report and getting down into the nuts and bolts of it, which are really good, by the way, is stuff that's left over from the 1980s. I mean, their way of finding and spotting people is tried and true, and it works. People just don't realize the number of people that get detained and or arrested, mainly detained, because of things that they've said that will put them in a category that they may try to do harm to the president, particularly when we're traveling somewhere. So we go to Little Rock, Arkansas, and somebody is in a bar and has got too much to drink, and I want to kill that guy. And somebody gets back to the ID group, which is the intelligence division, and then they find out who the guy is, and he gets a visit from Secret Service. And they have a way of asking people questions to get them to answer. When they answer, you kind of see what their motivation is. Were they kidding? Were they scared? Were they mad? And so they learn how to do that, observe. And so they would teach us that. They're, you know, if you see somebody and they're very pensive and they're very hesitant and they don't want to go through a magnetometer, they're pacing. I told you the story one time that I was in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and there's this guy, and he was pacing back and forth in front of the magnetometer, just going back and forth like a dog trying to figure out, you know, what is he going to do next. And I noticed it, and I mentioned it to the uniform guy who went and got the ID guy, the intelligence division guy, and he went up and confronted him and talked to him, said, "Do you need a ticket?" You know, asked him very politely, "Do you need a ticket?" And the guy just panicked. And he knew something was, you know, up. And so he got him off to the corner, talked to him, and asked him, said, "Would you mind if I pat you down?" And he had a knife on him, big knife. And He was not coherent. He was kind of all over the place. And, you know, as I've said, whether it was the shooting down in Florida, that guy got multiple visits. He got visits from psychiatrists. He got from welfare reform, human services. He got all sorts of visits. That should have been the alarm. Same thing with the Boulder shooter. He had all sorts of issues that were going on. So we'll get down into some details, but they're going to do a little too much feeling on here. Catherine Herridge on the story, Secret Service, coming up with a way to identify people.
The Secret Service, which protects presidents and cabinet officers, has just released a study of school shootings and how to stop them. The agency's National Threat Assessment Center analyzed nearly 70 disrupted school plots over the past two decades. Now, the study found the key to stopping them was early intervention by someone close to a student that was possibly planning the violence. Senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge spoke to one school safety advocate. He's more worried now about the students heading back to classroom because of the pandemic's impact on mental health. He lost his own daughter in a school shooting 3 years ago.
Targeted school attacks frequently occur after we've had a absence. We know that COVID has given many students and schools the longest break in attendance they've ever had.
Tony Montalto lost his daughter Gina 3 years ago when a former student killed 17 people and wounded 17 more at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida.
Gina was my forever 14-year-old daughter.
Today, with millions of kids learning virtually and not in the classroom, some students lost their support network and mental health services.
Some students sadly have not been in a nurturing and comfortable environment through the crisis as they learn from home.
The new Secret Service report said students who plotted attacks shared many similarities with students who carried out violent attacks. They had histories of school discipline and contact with law enforcement. They experienced bullying or had mental health issues and used drugs or alcohol. The report concluded school violence is preventable when communities identify warning signs and intervene.
Early intervention is key.
Dr. Lena Alathari and her team at the Secret Service analyzed nearly 70 plots that were reported and averted between 2006 and 2018. Classmates were among the first to observe the warning signs.
In this report, we've seen that students were the most positioned to come forward with this information.
So, and again, we've talked about this all the time, whether it's the, you remember the theater shooter, that guy was off the chain. He had all sorts of signs. You remember the guy at the shooting range wouldn't let him shoot there because he thought it was too unstable to be there. So what you do is you see these people and they're showing some type of signs. And as society, and I've said this on the show many a time, as society, and you probably remember this, Joey, during your high school days, you know, somebody would say, well, he's a little strange and he's just kind of doing his own thing. Well, that strange and doing his own thing may be some type of psychosis. It may be something that he's worried about something, carrying things out, and that little strange part, maybe that little small voice talking to him, and you don't want to overlook that anymore. So if you see somebody, whether it's at church or whether it's school, whether it's at work, and they're, you know, they're a little something's not quite right, you want to say something. You want to get involved with it. Don't just say, you know, that's their own thing. We'll leave them alone. You know, they're kind of doing their thing because you never know what's going to happen next. Second part of the story.
After the 1999 Columbine shooting, the Secret Service studied school safety.
The attacks that we studied in averting targeted school violence were really serious in nature. If you look at how far they got in their planning and the situation, this really could have presented serious harm.
The Parkland shooter had a long history of emotional and disciplinary problems. Montalto is now president of Stand with Parkland, a group pushing for school safety and gun reforms. Were a lot of warning signs missed?
Yes, many warning signs were missed. There were over 40 interactions with him and the local law enforcement. Everybody knew what a danger he was.
The report identified other concerning behaviors, including an interest in violent or hate-filled topics and a fixation on mass shootings like Columbine. Montalto says his daughter would have been graduating, part of the class of 2021. Their family has channeled its grief into action.
It doesn't lessen the pain, but allows us an avenue to work through and something to work towards, rather than possibly dwell in our grief constantly.
The Secret Service tells CBS News that every school is different and needs a plan that meets its unique needs. The new report is a starting point. Adriana.
This is just heartbreaking. I mean, we covered Parkland so extensively, and then the reaction after, schools spending millions of dollars on bulletproof glass and bunkers in classrooms. But really, it's if you see something, say something, and that's most effective. Students speaking up that are saving lives.
And first, thank you to Tony Montalto, because you, as a parent, you just can't imagine the grief that he's feeling, but to figure out a way to try to channel that into something. But, you know, kids are so, I don't want to tell on anybody. Yeah. We have to get rid of that. I don't want to tell. Now's the time to tell.
Absolutely.
You can no longer take it lightly when somebody says, I'm mad and I'm going to do something.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing, and particularly protective, presidential protective detail, and you've heard me say this a lot. The object of the game is not to catch the guy right when he pulls the weapon out and is about to shoot somebody. And that's why you have magnetometers. That's why you have blast plates and bulletproof glass and bulletproof vests and things like that. The object of the game is to catch the guy before he leaves his house and intervene at that point, so you don't ever have anybody anywhere around a whole bunch of people where you get people hurt, such as in the George Wallace shooting, just as in the Hinckley shooting of Reagan, where you had press secretary shot, Tim McCarthy shot. And that's why you need to know who the people are. And we're spending all this money on, you know, bulletproof glass and different things that are there. And it really needs to be, I'm not saying surveil students at all, but know your students so well that if there's something that's an aberration, that you spot that aberration and you say, wait a minute, as a counselor, I'm going to reach out and touch this person and see what they're all about. And that is a good thing to do, human to human.
Right.
You're not surveilling, you're not encroaching. What you're doing is you're reaching out and seeing, does the person have a problem? Because all of these cases have one common theme. There's an underlying problem that you have, whether it's the Gabby Gifford shooting or whatever. There's an underlying problem, and there's normally a medication problem that you have to deal with, being someone who knows something about ADD and that type of thing. You know, I've watched people get on that medication and overdo it, and I just watch them kind of, you lose them. They start going off in the distance. News on 93.1 FM, Morris Corporation South, 567-9000. Hope their phones work. 567-9000. Call John Williams and the gang at Morris Corporation South. Let them help you do better with your finances. NMLS number 232-876, an equal housing lender.
News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Protect your home with landscape and security lighting from our licensed and trusted electricians. Visit calldixie.com today.
Call Dixie and it's done.
License number 15033.
Hello, this is Pam with All About the Bounce. We have been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for a little over a month now and have seen great results. Thank you, Blue Water, for helping us to bring the bounce to more customers across the river region. Radio advertisement is definitely the best advertisement.
millennials, Gen X, baby boomers, Gen Z, no matter what you call your customers. Over 90% of them listen to radio every week. Reach them where they are. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of the Herb Shop Wellness Center, Pepper Tree Shopping Center, Montgomery's number one nutritional and herb supplemental products. Check them out on the web at theherbshopal.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. It's an interesting week. We have a storm system on the way, followed by a late-season cool snap later in the week. Today will be a little bit warmer, high temperature up to about 76. There is a risk of a shower or thunderstorm later on this afternoon and scattered storms tonight. Tonight's low 64. Tomorrow, high temperature near 80. Thunderstorms become likely on Wednesday. Some of the storms could be strong, and we're even under a marginal severe weather risk. Damaging wind gusts would be the main threat. Thursday, windy and sharply cooler behind the storm system. High temperatures only in the upper 50s. I kid you not. In fact, I think we'll be in the mid-30s by Friday morning with patchy frost. It's very late in the season for that. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo here with Capital Tractor. When there's work to do, ground to break, earth to move, and a reputation to uphold, you can count on durable Kubota equipment. Built right, built ready. Capital Tractor, Montgomery and Brundage. Together we do more.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is where we are.
You can hurt me, but it's all right. Hey, now one day, you will see. You'll never find a guy like me.
Yeah, the anniversary of assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan.
Hey.
Had Rick Ahern, who was the advance guy on duty. He's the guy I always tell you that when Reagan takes a shot, he's the guy standing right behind him. But he did a special for Fox Nation. It was pretty good. I got a message to him, told him I was impressed. And he has not changed a bit. What he was wearing back in the 1980s and what he's wearing today was identical. It's amazing. I got Mike Evans in the background.
Man, I didn't even realize it was the anniversary today.
Yeah.
But given, you know, you actually were, you weren't there that day, right? You were at the White House.
I was at the White House, and I was the duty officer that day. I went to the hospital when they relocated him.
I was about to say, this is more your story to tell, not, you know, little old Joey, but that is, I remember you and others, I've watched some documentaries on it. What an event when things, you know, how everybody joins together, and then you also learn. Well, some people, wasn't there a story about the vice president or, no, one of the secretaries who was trying to...
Alexander Haig.
Yeah, he got a little too big for his britches.
He got way too big for his britches. Lynn Nofsinger and I were watching that together when he did that, and that was it for him. Mm. I mean, the call went out, get rid of him, get him, pull the chain on him. And Larry Speaks was because Brady was shot, who was a very good friend of mine, we call him Teddy Bear. We would go visit Brady... When he got home, he and Sarah, and there were a handful of, because he really loved the advance guys, because we all traveled together, we all had war stories that we do, and he was so much fun on the road, and we'd go over to his house and see him, and he didn't see a lot of other people, did very little interaction with the public, except for a tight group of us that were in the advance staff and the White House press, staff office, not the press, you know, media office, but that was a wild day. I was 20. I just turned 26 when it happened, and I was doing all the information that went out that day out of the hospital. It was pretty wild. Okay, 272-9228. If the phones work, give us a buzz. Let's see. Let us know if they're working here. Something else that is happening that is interesting, and that is this whole thing on the WHO, and people are starting to realize, well, WHO might not have done a very good job when they went in and researched Wuhan. And the guy who started this whole thing is Redding, who no longer is working for CDC, and he's basically said, you know, I think that it came from a organic source in a bat and came from Wuhan. The lab there.
Oh, the former director, Robert Redfield.
Redfield. Yeah. Redfield. What did I say, Redford?
Redding.
He didn't look like Redding or Redford. But he kind of broke the ice of this, and now you have another guy who is involved with the WHO National Security Council, and he has an opinion on this. This is WHO advisor, China pushing animals to the human explanation for COVID-19. Yeah, listen to this.
Buried deep in CNN's two-hour-long grievance session last night with Fauci and friends was a little intriguing observation from the former CDC director, Robert Redfield, about the origins of COVID.
I have spent my life in virology. I do not believe this somehow came from a bat to a human. Normally when a pathogen goes from a zoonotic to human, it takes a while for it to figure out how to become more and more efficient in human-to-human transmission. I just don't think this makes biological sense.
Now, if we had more thinking like that on the WHO team that visited China, maybe we would have been closer to the truth about how COVID started. But of course, that investigation was nothing more than basically a propaganda ploy. And it was a point made by a frequent guest of this show on 60 Minutes last night.
It was agreed first that China would have veto power over who even got to be on the mission. Secondly,
and WHO agreed to that.
WHO agreed to that. On top of that, the WHO agreed that in most instances, China would do the primary investigation and then just share its findings with these international experts. So imagine if we had asked the Soviet Union to do a co-investigation of Chernobyl. It doesn't really make sense.
It really doesn't. And you're going to hear more from this guy in just a second. But there's a lot at stake at this whole thing. Fauci being one of the biggies, because he just basically said, no, WHO said this, so therefore it is true. And the lab, I don't see any way that could happen, and all this kind of stuff. And when a scientist says, I don't see any way that could happen, you have another scientist says, I believe this is what happens, and they're in conflict, you got a problem.
Oh, and it fits, so, you know, think about all the great science fiction stories of, you know, the guy trying to save people but ends up creating the monster. And it's called gain-of-function testing. Like, they're worried about, say, a coronavirus comes from a bat or that other, like the pendulum or something like that, another odd animal. And they were worried about that. Oh, coronavirus we get from a bat. So let's us geniuses actually see if we can do it ourselves. And it is documented they were doing gain-of-function testing, seeding these viruses into human cells. So it seems like this is exactly what they did to me.
If you get down to a little more advanced of it, for the COVID virus to generate it to the level that it did, that they said you would have seen it way before then.
Right.
You would have seen it mutate into that, because it's like it got mutated somewhere, maybe at a lab somewhere.
Right.
And it's kind of like they were engineering it. And the question is, were they engineering it for some type of warfare level, weaponize it, or were they just engineering it to kind of see, what if we put these two things together and see what happens?
Is it possible? Yeah. Well, it is. Oh, no.
Oh, no. He's dead. Let's listen to the second part of this. This is the guy himself that was on 60 Minutes.
The man you just saw, Jamie Metzl, Atlantic Council senior fellow and WHO advisor. Jamie, that was a fascinating interview on 60 Minutes. You say this report is not credible. For our viewers, why is this very unlikely that the story would have unfolded from a bat to a person without any lab involvement?
So there's two points. One is, why is it not credible? People feel this must be a World Health Organization investigation. It's not. It's not an investigation. and the World Health Organization isn't doing it. It's an independent committee with their Chinese government counterparts. So anything that they come out with is going to be a compromise, a consensus between this committee and the Chinese government. It could be possible that COVID-19 began through a zoonotic jump through animal hosts. It also could very well be possible that it comes from an accidental lab leak. There's a lot of evidence that suggests it's all circumstantial, that that is a very, very real possibility. The virus comes from horseshoe bats that are more than 1,000 miles away from Wuhan. But what Wuhan has is China's only level four virology institute that has the world's largest collection of bat coronaviruses, that was doing dangerous gain of function research with a spotty security record. And we have this massive Chinese cover-up that came afterwards. So nobody knows, or very few people know, what exactly the story was. But at very least, we need a full and credible investigation exploring all hypotheses.
This really could expose Fauci, because he was so determined and so absolute that WHO was doing the right thing and China didn't do anything. He didn't know. That's the way he kind of felt about it. And he was acting like a scientist, giving his opinion. And that when he did that, that kind of discredited him. That was the beginning point of discrediting him to me. And Redfield, if he's right, and it's kind of like time will tell, we'll come up with this eventually, because we'll get to the origins of this thing. That could be pretty damn explosive, particularly if China was something intentional that happened with this thing. Let's listen to the third leg of this story.
Richard Ebright, who gave the big interview where he went through all the likelihoods, pretty smart guy, right? He doesn't think it's all that likely that it would have come from the animal to human jump. And he went through all these reasons why. But the strange thing about this from the beginning is, why are people like Anthony Fauci, who should kind of know better, why is he so resistant to this idea that, you know, it couldn't have been at least an accident from a lab?
Part of it is that most of these pathogenic outbreaks in history have come through that other way, through jumps through animals in the wild. There certainly have been thousands of outbreaks from labs, but nothing like this. So it's hard for people to imagine. But we know that whatever happened, it's something weird and quirky. We don't have these kinds of massive pathogenic outbreaks all the time. It happens once in a while through a strange set of circumstances that could have happened in the wild, but it very, very likely could have happened through an accidental lab leak.
Yeah, but Jamie, I think the point here is that if it's all innocent explanation, then they would have thrown open their doors and interview anyone you want. Obviously. To. We want to get to the bottom of it. That's not what they did, right?
No, it's the total opposite of that, because China is, and frankly, this joint committee is doing everything possible to explore this animal jump hypothesis. And the Chinese government is doing everything possible to destroy samples, to hide databases and other records. They've imprisoned journalists, and there's a universal gag order on Chinese scientists making it impossible for them to say anything or write anything without prior approval about the origins of the pandemic.
And why do they shut that down so fast? I mean, because if it was a virus that escaped that they had been creating, that was a plausible explanation. The problem is, if it gets down to why were you creating it, or was it something else more, quote, sinister? The other thing that, if you start getting to kind of what I call the dark arts of this, was there a way to take the virus, encapsulate it into something that was protective, take it with you somewhere, and then let that virus out free? And would that explain some of the things of where these pop-up hotspots that happen all of a sudden in different parts of the world, but didn't happen in China, that they were being a little more intentional? Now, that would be some stuff that novels would be made up there, that we did this to let loose on the world so we could dominate the world. Interesting. Dylan Wings, 119 Brown Springs Road. I need to go by and see Josh and Leslie. What a great couple. What a creative couple. What a helping minister. Just, they have a servant's heart at Dylan's Ring. Go by and see them, 119 Brown Springs Road. Tell them you're an MR Show listener. You may not need some jewelry today, but you may need it somewhere in the future. And you want to get to know them now, so when you make that purchase, you can have confidence in them and you can know exactly where to go. Dylan Rings, 119 Brown Springs Road. Go see Josh and Leslie. They are wunderbar. Going to be back after this.
Going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage.
And I'm Madeline Cannon, and we understand what it means to serve. As children of military veterans, we are committed to providing our service members with the very best mortgage rates and experience.
Our community is full of veterans that would benefit from a VA interest rate reduction refinance loan. EARL for short. For those veterans who currently have a VA loan, this program is reserved exclusively for you.
We can lower your rate and lower your payment with no appraisal or income documentation required. You'll even skip a month's payment, maybe two.
An Army veteran purchased a home in Pike Road just over a year ago. We were able to drop her interest rate over a point and save her $418 a month with a VA interest rate reduction loan. Folks, if you have a VA loan, you owe it to yourself to pick up the phone.
Call Alabama Home Mortgage today at 567-4223 or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies.
NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Who 729-228 is where we are. If the phones are working. Somebody who has my cell phone number tried the phone 272-9228 and then text me and tell me what it does. Is the ring busy? Is the ring not in service? What does it say?
We've gotten both. Before in the last few days, we've gotten both either a busy signal or this number isn't in service.
It's funny, when I was in Birmingham, I tried to call the cancer center to get them some information. It said, "I'm sorry, your call cannot be completed this time."
Yeah,
and Rebecca's phone did the same thing, and then finally let go once we got south of Birmingham.
Yeah, it's affecting more than just the station. It's something with landlines in the whole area. So.
An AT&T issue?
I think so. I don't have the exact details, but heard something about a backhoe and a wire being cut. You know, one of these classic
stories. Let's get that person to give them a bill, Red Belly.
We could blame it on the Suez Canal, too.
Oh, man, they finally got the ship out of there.
I know. Thank God. That was talk about people getting upset.
Well, and we're going to investigate the captain and things and said, because he's had some personal issues.
Hmm.
Well, what kind of, don't do that to us. What kind of personal issues does he have? Was he seeing things and wanted to run a ship around? And what was the word out of the captain's mouth as soon as he hit something? Mm. And what language was it in?
400 meters.
Man.
The length of that ship. I can't imagine the full tonnage with everything loaded on it. It's just unreal.
But a little high tide, say, raises all boats, as they say. So finally got that done. Another issue here. We've been hearing a lot about the Asians and being harassed. Okay, so I see the story cross that there's this 65-year-old lady who is beaten.
Oh, I saw this video, yeah.
And There's no, there's a picture of the lady. There's a picture of the guy, blurry as it is, hauling back, arm drawn back, about to lay in a haymaker on her. But there's no description of the person. Then finally, there's a suspect picture, but it's not linked to, it doesn't clearly say, this is the guy who is suspected of beating the 65-year-old woman. It just says, this is a person of interest on an incident in New York. Or, he's black. This is CBS taking the story and going with it here. Listen.
New York City police are investigating two brutal new attacks on Asian Americans. There is video, and you know what's coming next. We need to warn you, it is extremely disturbing. Both attacks are being investigated as hate crimes, and it's part of a very concerning trend during this pandemic. Nancy Chen has more on the story.
Nancy Chen.
In surveillance video taken from an apartment building, the 65-year-old Asian woman is seen walking before a man suddenly appears and violently strikes her, causing her to fall to the ground. He then repeatedly stomps her, striking her multiple times to the head before casually walking away. A nearby security guard inside the building appears to do nothing while the brutal attack occurred. The staff who witnessed the attack have been suspended pending an investigation, according to the management company. Police say the attacker made anti-Asian statements towards the woman. Our New York station WCBS reported the man shouted, "You don't belong here," before running away. The woman is hospitalized with serious injuries, and police are still looking for the suspect.
Okay, so this happens right outside the doors of an apartment complex. There's two security guards. One security guard, as he is wailing away on this lady, I'm not about kicking her head. He closes the door, like, "I'm going to close the door so you don't get in here." Didn't go out to help the lady. Didn't go, "What are you doing? I'm calling the police." Didn't call the police. Closes the door.
Damn coward.
Unbelievable.
It's one thing, oh, a random person, but you're literally the security guard right there in front of your, you know, what you're protecting, supposedly.
Second part of the story, because there's another beating that happens. I wonder who did that one.
The New York Police Department's hate crime unit is also investigating this attack on a man police believe is Asian. Social media video shows the man being pummeled on the subway before being placed in a chokehold by his attacker and left unconscious. Police are still trying to track down the suspect and the victim. Nationally, more than 3,500 hate incidents towards Asian Americans have been recorded since the start of the pandemic. That's according to one advocacy group.
It's really terrible how every single day there seems to be another incident.
Dozens gathered in New York City Monday night for a candlelight vigil honoring the victims in the Atlanta area spa shootings, where six Asian women were killed, and showing solidarity for all victims of hate.
We're just starting to learn how to speak out about something that has been happening for as long as we can remember.
New York police numbers show at least 31 anti-Asian hate crimes citywide so far this year, but the department admits hate crimes and crimes against Asian Americans have long gone underreported. Starting this week, undercover Asian American cops will be walking around the streets to help with hate crime prevention.
Okay, so, you know, when you had the massage parlor shooting, instantly white, Boulder, Colorado, falsely said he was white. Both of the perpetrators of this, both are black. Both are black. Not mention anything. Nothing. And this, folks, is a problem. I'm not trying to lean into black folks. What I don't like is the fact that you're excluding some information in the incident that happened. That is not fair media reporting.
Well, they're not looking for the story for the story's sake. They're looking for an inciting event to play into their larger narrative.
Well, and so they can, because I think if you would go through and you would ask people, who do you think is doing these crimes? I think they would say whites.
Yeah.
And they would say they would try to tie it back to Donald Trump and the Wuhan virus and China virus. And it's, that's not it. That is not it, boys and girls. And they always do this date that they start the numbers of the people of hate groups, they started in March of 2020. They don't do March of 2019 to March of 2020. They do March of 2020. Just so they can get that connection that's in there. This is bad reporting, folks. Bad reporting. News 793.1. Now my show will be back with no phones after the top of the hour break.